VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Today we're going to be talking about Islam's continued influence. Matter of fact, Islam is continuing to exert itself and its influences in our everyday lives. Yes, even with the coronavirus. And also we're going to see how it's been injecting itself in politics and also what is happening even within prisons, and also forced Islam going on in places around the world as well. With us today, Usama Dakdak, founder of the Straightway of Grace Ministry. He's a speaker in the daily broadcast, Revealing the Truth About Islam. He is from Egypt. He's the author of Exposing the Truth About the Quran and Exposing the Truth About Jihad. And here with comment on these issues, he spoke this past Saturday at our VCY rally, then speaking in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, last night, Ontario, Wisconsin. He's in Marshfield now, preparing for an event there this weekend, and we'll have some information in other places as well. But Usama, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my joy to be with you and all our wonderful audience.
Let's deal with this coronavirus first. And even before the coronavirus broke, there was a preacher on an official Palestinian Authority TV teaching that this virus is one of Almighty Allah's soldiers and that Allah is punishing the sinners, that it's those who attack His believers.
Well, believe it or not, Brother Jim, Muslims in their prayers, they call on Allah every Friday to bring the disease on the West, to bring the disease on the infidels, to punish the infidels for their wickedness and their evil with that disease. So I do not have any surprise that some Muslim imam thinks that it's a punishment of Allah on the infidels or on the sinners or anybody else, because that is the concept of Muslim. Obviously, he's not very educated about disease or God, because God Almighty does not punish people for their sin that way, for why there are evil people in the world who are prosperous and why Muslims have to fight for Allah and defend Allah and defend Islam and kill for Allah if God can send a disease and take care of the evil ones.
There's also an Iran cleric that is blaming President Trump for this coronavirus outbreak in the Islamic holy city of Qom in Iran, saying President Trump targeted the city with coronavirus and to damage its culture and its honor. Usama, is this being said in order to build further hatred against the United States and against President Trump?
Absolutely. If you think about everything wrong happening in the world, is now put on Trump by the liberals of America. Why not the Muslim of Iran or the Muslim of some other country? If it works in America, why cannot the whole world use it? But Muslims will find any excuse to bring hatred towards America, the great Satan, or towards Israel, the small devil in the Middle East. This is how they look at life, and that's how they promote their propaganda of bringing hatred and anger towards any non-Muslim anyway.
We also, on this same issue, we've seen the stories of Muslims who've been licking and even kissing shrines in Iran in defiance of this coronavirus outbreak.
Well, because that is go with the level of education among Muslims. I was mentioning a little bit earlier, these people are ignorant of viruses, ignorant of disease. We here know how to fight it because we take all the precaution of not spreading the disease from one city to another, from one cruise, people work on a ship to the rest of the country, and we do everything right to protect innocent people from being, getting the disease to grow in that big circle. But in the Muslim world, kissing the shriners, they believe, actually, if they have the coronavirus and kiss the shriners will heal them. They will have no effect. The healing come from, I'm surprised now, we're talking about the Hajj is coming up in a few weeks or a couple months from now, and when the Hajj will take place, well, guess what the Muslims will do? You're talking about millions of Muslims will kiss in one rock, the black stone. Why is he kiss the stone? Because Muhammad kissed it 1,400 years ago. And believe it or not, all it takes is one person to kiss that stone with this disease, and you're going to have 2 million plus Muslims leaving the Saudi Arabia Hajj with the disease to their own countries. You're talking about spread in a high scale. Here it is. Because simply they believe that the kissing of the black stone or the kissing of the shriners is a blessing. That's what Muslims will do. And they will, I hope and I pray, somebody will send them the message, don't kiss the stone. Hmm. Pretend to kiss the stone, but don't kiss it. But believe it or not, with the 2.5-3 million people crowded in that circle around the Kaaba, as they will be circling the Kaaba 7 times, body touching body. You're not talking even about there's a space between a person and another. There will be body touching body. I have no clue what will be the result. Perhaps millions and millions of people are going to die.
And Usama, we saw just a couple of days ago, there was a story released about that travel to Mecca and Medina simply canceled this year by Saudi Arabia over fears.
So I did not know that. That's a new information for me.
Let's see, greenprophet.com has it. I believe I've seen some other sites as well where they are saying the Mecca's Hajj is canceled for this year.
Oh, well, I'm glad that somebody did that was decision. You know what, Brother Jim? Muslims celebrate the death of the infidels. We don't. We love the Muslim people, and I wish, and I'm glad they did. I was going to tell you, just before you stop me by continuing with my talk, I was saying I wish the Saudi will make hesitation or maybe make a decision not to have it this year because it's dangerous. We don't want to see Muslim people sick. We don't want to see that disease spread all over the Muslim world and millions of people will die because that could end lots of life, not just Muslims, but the rest of the people who are living in the Muslim world and the rest of the world, of course. But so I'm glad. I'm glad they made the decision, not because I'm celebrating that they're not going to have their Hajj, but because they're saving physical life. And I hope and I pray that they will come and they will end the celebration for good because it is a cult. There's no truth in it. Brother Jim, when Muslims visit Mecca, they receive forgiveness for their sins. And I'm sorry, that's a false belief. You cannot receive forgiveness of sin even if you visit the empty tomb of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, where the Church of the Resurrection. There is no place in the world you can visit to receive forgiveness for your sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Visiting Mecca will never give a Muslim salvation or forgiveness of any sins.
Usama Daktak, our guest today, and some various news stories out pertaining to that. I see some mixed stories on that issue. But the issue of concern, of course, for that Hajj. Usama, there's also been some false reports of a video released claiming that China's prime minister, what they did is they edited video together to make it look like China's prime minister said reading the Quran and offering Islamic prayer can help prevent coronavirus. Now, it's been reported, hey, this has just been edited, it's been spliced together in that regard, but that's the propaganda flowing, trying to get people to believe that by reading the Quran or offering Islamic prayer is going to somehow prevent the coronavirus.
Well, Brother Jim, it's been 1,400 years, and what we got out of the Quran is nonsense. What we got out of Islam is no good. Islam, as a belief or as ideology, have not given humanity one thing good. This is not just my statement here, making it up, but that's reality. If you go to Quran chapter 5 and verse 33, what do we learn? We learn about Allah giving the wisdom to Muhammad to give wisdom to the Muslim believers to drink camel urine. Let me say it again in case somebody did not hear me right. To drink camel urine, mixed with milk. I'm sorry. Let me give you the right story because they'll tell you I'm editing the teaching of Muslim scholars. Camel urine and milk, and that bring healing to all kind of diseases. Go online, Brother Jim, right now and Google camel urine and read. Doctors, Muslim doctors. I'm not talking about Muslim imams or Muslim people who are living behind some camels. I'm talking about Muslim doctors who are medical doctors. They do surgery on people. They do medicine. They prescribe camel urine as medicine to heal many diseases, including AIDS and different cancer, and you can grow your hair back. If that is the mentality of Muslim doctors, the most educated group in the Muslim world, I'm sorry, nothing good can come out of Islam. Muhammad never brought healing as our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ brought healing. There is no Dr. Luke in Islam, but we have doctors who are literally teaching drinking camel urine can bring healing, not good, will bring healing to many diseases among the Muslims. And Muslims believe it. And Muslims still until today, here we are, 2020, and Muslims drink camel urine to heal their sickness from many diseases. It is a sad story, but that's where Muslims are in the level of education or medical or anything to bring sense to that cult.
Usama, just one more story here dealing with coronavirus, and Pamela Geller had the story on her site of a Jordanian Islamic scholar, Ahmad El-Sharouni, who said that the Jews are more dangerous than coronavirus, AIDS, and cholera. And every disease in the world, also said that to be saved from these illnesses, one should remember the Al-Aqsa Mosque and Jihad.
Yeah. Well, there's so much in that statement here. Let me start with the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That is where Muhammad made up his lies 1,400 years ago when he was taken from his house, from his bed, riding on his supersonic mule, and he tied his mule to one of the columns of Solomon of Temple. And that's where Muhammad prayed his first prayer, and all the prophets, Moses and Jesus and David and Abraham, were standing behind him in that spot where Muslims built Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's a long story. We can do it some other time in the future, but it's a lie given by Muhammad, which causes Muslims to believe this is their holy site, and Al-Aqsa Mosque must be set free, and Muslims must take over Israel, kill all the Jews. Now, the Jews to the Muslims are actually truly much greater worse and cursed than any disease, because they are the one who are cursed by Allah himself. You go to Quran chapter 1, the repeated verses of the Quran, which Muslims repeat more than anything else in the Quran, where they pray to Allah, guide us to the straight way, Islam, the way of those whom you have graced, the Muslims, not the way of those whom your wrath or your anger against, the Jews, nor the lost ones, the Christians. So Muslims from the beginning of the Quran believe that the Jews are the one whom the curse of Allah is against. They are the one whom Allah cursed to become pigs and monkeys. So this is how Muslims look at how Allah describes the Jewish for people. They're worst of the creature. Quran chapter 98, verse 6. Jews and Christians are the worst of the creatures, and they will spend eternity in hell. So I'm sorry, you could die with virus, and you go to paradise if you're a good Muslim. Allah chose for you to make it to paradise. But when you are a Jew, you are in a worse scenario. There is no hope for you. You are cursed by Allah, and you will spend eternity in hell. So it is if you are a Christian. The Quran puts the hatred into the heart of every Muslim believer against the Jews and the Christians, because Allah chose to do so, and Muhammad chose to do so.
Usama Daktak, our guest here today from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, and just here a point of clarification pertaining to the Hajj. I've seen one story saying that it's been canceled, another just saying that Saudi Arabia is not allowing, they suspended any visas coming into the country for any religious activities over fear of the coronavirus, which means that whether or not they're going to let people from within that country participate, I don't have that information here at this point, but nonetheless...
It's Eid al-Adha.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Usama Daktak is with us. We're going to take a quick 60-second break, and folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about Islam's continued influence, not only here with the coronavirus, but how it's been exhibited through politics as well, including a recent statement from Michael Bloomberg, who said he was never prouder than when he stood in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty and argued that Muslims had every right to build a mosque anywhere in our city, including near the World Trade Center. We'll hear what Usama has to say about it and other issues after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are whales related to any land animals?
Chris, evolutionists think they are. In fact, this is one of their strongest arguments these days, that whales evolved from land animals with legs. Some say that the ancestor looked like a cow or maybe a wolf or a hippopotamus. Well, I think they're all wrong. Recently, the head portion of a whale fossil was found in California. It didn't have the rear portion at all, but this didn't keep evolutionists from claiming that they had small rear legs. Chris, why do we believe them? Why do even evolutionists believe them when they make up stories like this? The Bible says that God created whales on day 5 of creation week. They've always been whales, and they still are whales. Even whales go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Dakdak is our guest here today on the program and talking about Islam's continued influence. Even with the coronavirus, we heard a number of stories that coming out pertaining to it. But we're going to delve into politics right now, Usama, to have you discuss statements. Here we have Michael Bloomberg. He just recently suspended his campaign for the presidency. But one of the statements he has made is this: I was never prouder than when I stood in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty and argued that Muslims had every right to build a mosque anywhere in our city, including near the World Trade Center.
Exactly is my point of all liberals and sadly all those who speak on the behalf of the Muslims without having any knowledge about Islam. Does this Mike know what Muslims are hoping to accomplish from these mosques all over America? As he wrote by their own hand, he will have a completely different opinion. Brother Jim, from the Holy Land Foundation trial, we found this memorandum, and in this memorandum we got the blueprint for what Muslims hoping to accomplish in America in this Islamic center. As they said, and I'm not quoting word for word, I can open my computer and I'll read it word for word, but in my own personal word here, I'm telling you, they said that they will build Islamic center and they will turn it to operation room. They will be using this Islamic center to launch attacks on America, to destroy America from within, and they will sabotage its miserable house by the hands of the infidels and the hands of the believers. And I know this to be a fact, Brother Jim, without even this written material. You know why? Because where I come from in Egypt, on Fridays, it's the worst days we ever have in our country. Why? Because on Fridays, that's when Muslims go to the mosque in the hundreds of thousands. And on Fridays, after the Muslims do their prayer and do the supplication for the destruction of the Jews and the Christian and destruction of Israel and America, that is when the Muslims launch attack to destroy Christian businesses, to burn Christian churches, to attack Christians all over the streets of Egypt. It is the worst time. And can you imagine with me, when Muslims in America will have all the power, I'm talking about the guns and the weapons they can, because in Egypt we don't have guns. All what they do is they start a fire by some gas and match, or throw some rocks on a building. That's what they do. But here in America, they will have all the weaponry they need to launch attacks on Friday from these Islamic centers, as they already told us themselves. And that's when you see the real Bishop of Islam, the retaliation of the Muslims against America. After all, right now we found out that Trump is killing the Muslims with this disease. So why not retaliate and kill some Americans, as Allah orders the Muslim people to retaliate all over the pages of the Quran? The future of America with all these thousands of mosques all over the big cities in America is very sad. I can see it. Sadly, Mike and other liberals like him have no clue. They think it's okay for Muslims to have the mosque, and they will, and they are proud to be in these mosques all over America.
And very important for them to be right at that World Trade Center site, isn't it?
Sure, because that is the Cordova Mosque. I mean, when Imam Faisal Abdur-Rauf picked up the name, the Cordova Mosque, I've been in that mosque, by the way. It's only one block from the Islamic Center. It's only a four-story building. He wanted to make it a huge building. The Cordova is a battle where Muslims won against the Spanish people. And Imam Faisal Abdur-Rauf and the rest of the Muslim in America would love to have that mosque there, because that will be the celebration of the death of the 3,000 American with the name Cordova Mosque. That is, you don't need any more talk about it.
Another interesting story here. Stephen Kirby has recently released a book, Islamic Doctrine versus the U.S. Constitution, The Dilemma for Muslim Public Officials. And he asked, in January of 2020, he wrote about the results of a survey, presented four questions to 80 Muslim public officials across the United States. Each question asked the Muslim public official to choose between the U.S. Constitution or our man-made laws or Islamic doctrine. Here are the questions. Number one, will you go on record now or state that our First Amendment right to freedom of speech gives the right to anyone in the United States to criticize or disagree with your prophet Muhammad? That's the half the question. Number two, our First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion in the U.S. as part of the freedom. Anyone in the U.S. has a right to join or leave any religion. Will you go on record now and state that you support and defend the idea that in the United States, a Muslim not only has the freedom to leave Islam, but to do so without fear of physical harm? Number three, according to the words of Allah found in Quran 538, in the teachings of your prophet Muhammad, amputation of a hand is acceptable punishment for theft. But our U.S. Constitution, which consists of man-made laws, has the Eighth Amendment that prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. Do you agree with Allah, or do you believe that our laws are to be followed? And then the fourth question was, according to the words of Allah found in Quran 4:3, Muslim men are allowed but not required to be married up to four wives. Being married to more than one wife in the United States is illegal. So do you agree with Allah, or do you believe with our laws to be followed here in the United States? Usama, 92%, he reports, 92% of the new Muslim candidates would not express support for our United States Constitution.
And boy, oh boy, Brother Jim, if you listen to what Mustafa Curl, the director of Dallas Council in America Islamic Relations, that is CAIR, when he made his statement, he firmly believed that the message of the Quran is supreme over the United States Constitution. He said, listen carefully, Brother Jim, if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law of the land. Let me repeat again. If we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law of the land. And today, if you squeeze these people who are running for these offices, they will lie. Why? Because lies is one of the beliefs of Islam. It's okay to lie to the infidels. It is okay to lie to your enemy, America. And guess what? When the right time comes, Brother Jim, and that is the message which I'm trying to teach every day in our daily program. When the right time comes, when the Muslim in America have the upper hand, trust me, they will spit on our Constitution, they will throw it in the trash can, and they will force Sharia not to practice among themselves, but they will force Sharia against the American people. And liberals cannot see it. They are used as useful aided by the Muslims to allow the Muslims to run for office for the right time to come, and America will be no more, Brother Jim.
Jihad Watch is reporting North Carolina just elected their first Muslim woman to office. She was elected to the North Carolina State Board of Elections and uses a silhouette on her campaign logo of her hijab. And this is the first time for North Carolina electing its first Muslim woman.
Well, this will continue to be first time here, first time there, and it's no longer first time. We have hundreds of Muslims who are running for offices all over this land, and their number will quadruple. Just give them enough time to double their number in the society, and they will quadruple their number of people who represent their people, the Muslims. And they will not, let me say again, they will not assimilate with us. They have nothing to do with our Constitution. They're just using our Constitution and our freedom in America to take over America. It's like we are telling the Muslims, please take our country, please take over our life, please force your Sharia, your Islamic law on us. That's exactly what the liberals, and sadly, the conservative voice will get smaller and smaller in the end of time.
And let's go from North Carolina then to Paterson, New Jersey. And according to the College Times, Ibrahim Bekora, sworn in as a police chief this is a first Muslim police chief in the city of Paterson. And as he placed his left hand on the Quran during the ceremony at City Hall to take his oath of office, and later said, I don't think my religion makes the difference. Usama, what is the significance of placing his hand on the Quran being sworn into office?
It's this symbol. That is when you kiss your Constitution goodbye. There is no value for our Constitution anymore because Muslims do not believe in our Constitution. Their Constitution is the Quran. This is in their creed, Brother Jim. I'm not making this up. That's what Muslims believe. That's what Muslims teach all the days of our life. We have our creeds. We pledge our allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which stands one nation under God. That is our pledge. Muslims have their own pledge. And their pledge is completely different story than ours. It says, Allah is our goal. The messenger is our model. The Quran is our constitution. Do you see this? I have it in my presentation here in bold statement in red underline. The Quran is our constitution. Jihad is our means. Martyrdom in the way of Allah is our aspiration. That is what Muslims believe. So when he put his hand on the Quran, he's telling you in front of your eyes, in your face, in action, this is my constitution, not your stupid American constitution, man-made written material. And sadly, the liberal, like Nancy Pelosi, she was so happy when Keith Ellison swore as the first man in America on the Quran. She have a big smile on her face as if we have done a great favor to America by throwing our Constitution in the trash can and replace it by the Quran. And from Keith Ellison, we got to Rashida Tlaib. Ilhan Omar, she's wearing a huge Quran. I didn't even know where they printed that huge Quran, the biggest Quran, and she bragged about it. And trust me, from now on, the rest of the Muslims who will be running for office anywhere in America, they will be swearing nothing but on the Quran. Why? Because once again, the Quran is our Constitution. And if the American people can read the Quran and knows what is written in the Quran, they will remove the last Muslim in America out of this land.
Well, wow. Usama Dakdak is with us here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about Islam's continued influence. We see it happening even with this outbreak of coronavirus. We're seeing it happen within politics and what's happening in our political system. Here again, the first Turkish Muslim U.S. police chief taking his oath of office, Paterson, New Jersey, on the Quran. But folks, it's not here in the U.S. only. And Usama has presentations on Islam in our textbooks and so forth. But also, when we take a look around the world as well, Usama, Sweden right now, non-Muslim school forces nine-year-olds to pledge allegiance to Allah, and they must write, "I belong to Islam." These are pupils had to participate in a prayer. They had this minaret call played in the classroom, and they had to color a mosque on a piece of paper, and the teacher actually threatened detention if students participated in this task. This is religious indoctrination. It is Islamic indoctrination.
It is the evolve of Islam in Europe. It starts small and grew bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's how Europe is gone. And believe it or not, it's not just in Europe. It's already happening here in America. We're in the early stages. What you see happening in Europe right now, just count 5 years or so, and you will see it happening in a double major in America. That's exactly why Muslims are interested to educate our children in our public schools about Islam. And if you can give me your children today, I will take your country tomorrow.
Usama Dakdak with us here today on Crosstalk and talking about Islamic's continued influence. Sweden, let's go to Denmark. Muslim prisoners are forcing other prisoners to participate in the Islamic prayer. And this is what's very interesting is that there are threats made against them for not participating in prayers. And we find that the prison system, this is in Denmark, but Usama, it's happening here in the U.S., the prison system are indoctrination chambers for Islam as well.
You know, it's amazing, Brother Jim. Now, as people will be listening to my daily program, Islamophobia and the 2020 election, we're going to be sharing in the end of the study coming up next week, 33 questions are given by CARE to all the candidates who will be running for office. And one of them about, what do you think about allowing the Muslims in our prison system to be able to pray? That is step number one. Because next is going to be, what about allowing the other Muslim, the other inmate in our prison to join the Muslim in the prayer? They are controlling, they're manipulating even those who are running for office right now. And there is not even, according to their own numbers, 1% Muslims live in America. So if you go to Denmark or if you go to anywhere in Germany, that's a 5 and 7% and 10%. Why not? Why not? I'm expecting anything could happen. I'm expecting that they will actually start practicing jihad and killing the infidels right now in Europe because they're not submitting to Islam, because that is what the constitution of Islam teach. That's what the Quran teach. If they will not repent, that's convert Islam, so kill them. Where? Quran chapter 9, verse 5. And there are plenty of verses which Muslims can use when they have the upper hand, that is the 5% or more, to literally bring chaos to wherever they exist.
We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yeah, some breaking news just coming forth here today. Major League Baseball has just made major changes to its schedule as the coronavirus spreads. They delayed opening day as the sports world takes action. We know National Hockey League has suspended their season. The NBA suspending their season as well. It's breaking news coming out just a bit ago. Usama Dakdak is with us here today on the program. By the way, Usama is going to be speaking in multiple locations over the next several days. Both tomorrow and Saturday, he's going to be at the Wisconsin Christian News Expo and Conference in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We will plan to be there as well. Usama speaking Saturday morning at the Expo in Marshfield, Wisconsin for Wisconsin Christian News, and you can check it out at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Then on this Lord's Day, Sunday, March 15th, he is going to Grace Bible Church in Wild Rose, Wisconsin, speaking during the 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. services. And then, Usama, I understand you're heading out to Medford and Grand Pass, Oregon, leaving Wisconsin. I know we have listeners in Medford, Oregon, that can also come and hear you.
Absolutely. And if you want to know where is the meeting, I believe in Medford it's going to be Wednesday night. I do not know the name of the church in my head right now, but if they will call me, we can tell them exactly how they can join us on that meeting. And then Sunday morning in Grand Pass. So if people need to know exactly where I'm speaking, feel free to call 941-223-1703. Or just email us, and we'll be very happy, usama@thestraightway.org, and we'll reply to your email by the address and the time of these speaking engagements.
Okay, so drop an email to usama, U-S-A-M-A, at thestraightway.org, or you may call 941-223-1703. But some of you listening in over the Rejoice Network in Medford, Oregon, and also Grand Pass, Oregon, Usama heading out that direction as soon as he leaves the state of Wisconsin after this weekend. Usama is with us here today, and Usama, I want to cover one other issue before we go to some phone lines today, and that is, and this is coming out of Nigeria, where a Muslim senator says that there is nowhere in the Quran where Allah said innocent people should be killed. He's a member of the National Assembly, declared that the activities of the Boko Haram insurgents are completely opposed to the teachings of Islamic religion, saying there is nowhere in the Quran where Allah said innocent people should be killed. However, we cannot call them unbelievers until they denounce the kalima or the testimony. Your response?
Well, maybe this gentleman here needs to read a book. It's called The Quran. If he reads the generous Quran, Al-Quran al-Kareem, he'll know for sure he's so ignorant and he's foolish. He does not know what he's talking about. Boko Haram can memorize the Quran and then they can recite to him, not just one, but a bunch of verses. For example, in Quran 9:29, engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah nor in the last day and do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid. Among the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. Quran 5:72, Quran 5:73, assured every Muslim believer that Christians are infidel. When Allah said, infidel indeed are those who believe Jesus is God or those who believe in Trinity. Quran chapter 47, verse 4, when he made those who became infidels, when he made the Christians, strike the necks until you have made a great slaughter among them. As a matter of fact, Brother Jim, if you have a 2-3 hour program in the future and you want me to quote for you over 300 verses from the Quran, teach the opposite message of that, I call him ignorant. He does not know what he's talking about. But I can also sat him with any of the Boko Haram member leaders. A kid at 10, 12 years old can quote for him the same 300 plus verses from the Quran. Muhammad's message is very clear. He was commanded by Allah to engage in war with people. With who? People. Until they say they bear witness that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So from the word of Allah in the Quran, we got over 300 verses. From the saying of Muhammad, we got plenty. That gentleman is spreading propagandas. He's spreading lies, and he need to be educated. Perhaps he will leave Islam and he will become a Christian.
Usama, you have just put together a brand new booklet called the Violent Verses Booklet. It's expanded even over what we had here at VCY America, and you have this available. I see it right now on your website.
It's very simple. I hope and I pray people will order it. They can get it. If they can share it with these Muslims, because trust me, Brother Jim, mm-hmm. there are plenty of Muslims whom I call naive Muslims. They're Muslims by name only. They have never read the Quran. They're ignorant of the religion. And it is okay, because it's time for American people to carry the truth of Islam to the Muslims. If Muslims do not know how evil Islam is, why do you think or why do you expect them to leave Islam? It is time for us to share how evil Islam is with the Muslims by simply quoting the verses of Allah in the Quran, the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith, and we got plenty of evidence. I know it's hard to ask the Muslim to read the whole book of the Quran, as it is hard sometimes to ask people who are Christian by names to read the Bible, but perhaps that small booklet will be an eye-opening mm-hmm. for many of these Muslims to read and find out this is the reality of how Islam evil, and I hope and I pray not only people get that green, that red booklet, but they also get the green one, mm-hmm. the straight way to eternal life. Because there's one thing, you know that you're sick, but another thing is to get the medicine for the disease you have in your body. So Muslims need to know how evil Islam is, but at the same time, they need to know the truth of the gospel. And that is available in our green booklet, which is called The Straight Way to Eternal Life.
Okay, folks, you can see it right now at thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. I mean, these booklets are small. He's got 3 copies for $5, 10 copies or more for $1 each of The Straight Way to Life, The Violent Verses. He's got several of those, and just a few dollars will get you some copies of those booklets for you to be informed and to hand out to others as well. You can go to his website, thestraightway.org. I'm opening our phone lines on Crosstalk today, where you can speak with Usama. If you have a question here regarding Islam's continued influence, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We see it happening in so many different aspects of our culture today, whether it be that of the political realm right now. We're seeing it happen even with the coronavirus. And what's also interesting is we find that here also a story that just broke recently about a female contractor for the Pentagon charged with sneaking classified information to a man who allegedly is connected with terrorist organizations. I mean, there's trouble lurking about, Usama.
Well, Brother Jim, I get every week in my cell phone, a phone or two, sometimes even more, of Muslim literally taking advantage of the naive American ladies, and they make them believe that they fall in love with them. They actually, American ladies go overseas to marry these Muslim men to bring them to America, not realizing they are literally victims of this huge circle of sorrowful stories of Muslim men marrying American women for the purpose of coming to America. My advice to all these ladies, don't even start communicating with Muslims online. Don't communicate with them by the phone. They don't love you. You are an infidel to them. You are literally dirtier than dirt to any Muslim believers. They are using you not only to come to America, but to take over your country, this beautiful America. We need to be wise in making decisions that the future will be a little bit better than what I see is coming to America.
Let's go to the phone lines. Fred in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask Usama if he was familiar with the gentleman whose first name is Jay, and it's spelled J-A-Y, and his last name is Smith, and he has something about Islam, Jay Smith,
sure.
Islam on the computer.
Sure. Well, Brother Jay is a British gentleman whom I ministered with actually in Vancouver a few years ago, a good 6 or 7 years ago. We have conference together. He's expert on Islam. He study a lot. He study with from the top doctors who do a great job on exposing Islam. And there's some new material he have, some videos on proving that the Quran we have today have nothing to do with Muhammad. It was actually written a good 200 years or so after Muhammad. So if you have chance, our dear listeners, to go online and look for Jay Smith and listen to so many of his broadcasts, TV shows he does, and also his speaking engagement in different churches. He's an expert, and he is 100% right. So far, all what I've seen of his projects is 100% accurate. So please join and listen and learn from him.
Thank you, Fred. We've got Shirley next in Norway, Michigan. You're on the air, Shirley.
Good afternoon. I want to thank you for this program and for the other program for Osama teaching the truth about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I formerly lived in Dearborn, Michigan. And as you both know, Dearborn was the Muslim capital of the, you know, outside of the Muslim countries. And it has been absolutely devastating what has happened in that city. I moved out of that city 5 years ago, and I now live in the UP of Michigan, and I feel like I came back to America. But people up here are ignorant of what Islam is doing.
Hmm.
And I wish you both all the best to teach everybody the evils of the corruption of Islam.
Here is the truth, my dear friend. Muslims, when they move to a city, until they have the large number, as you see it in Dearborn or Detroit or many other cities in America, you will never feel how evil that movement is. But when you have few Muslims in the community and you don't even know who they are or where they live or where they're working, you don't feel it. You felt it because you lived there. And sadly, by the time the rest of America will feel it, it will be too late, because then it will be all over America.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, I agree. It's too late. It's being infected. It's like the coronavirus. It's spreading. But you know, I see what it did. And you mentioned something, and you are right on. They are taking over from within. Years ago, they controlled the school board, the city council, and that was, you know, just the beginning of the downfall.
Sure.
Thank you. Usama, so you would say that the teachings of Islam, and that's what she was saying here, the teachings of Islam, they are destructive. Just you concur with that, don't you?
Absolutely. 100%. Just go to Detroit, spend a day in Detroit or Dearborn, or go to wherever you see a large Muslim population, anywhere near you, and you will see it in reality. That's what Muslims are here for. They're here to change America from within.
And that's, thank you for the call, Shirley, and that's why you're encouraging people to get your little green booklet, The Straight Way to Eternal Life, which is a booklet that will minister to Muslims.
Brother Jim, have we ministered to the Muslims 50 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Have the church shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Muslims 50 years ago? There will not be a mosque today in America, because that's a free country where Muslims can be set free from their cult. But sadly, they came here, and they influenced on us, and they've taken over this land while the church does not even know what to do with the Muslims.
Let's go to Unalaska, and we have Barbara calling. You're on the air, Barbara.
Yes. God bless you, Osama. I heard you in Unalaska a couple of times, and I just pray for you and your family all the time. I read three separate Qurans, and the gentleman that called in, he either has not read them. He could not possibly have read them, because as a Gentile, in reading three different versions, each one teaches to hate and to kill and or maim every Christian and Jew or even other secular people.
Barbara,
we have to pray for them. Jesus
indeed
asked us to pray for our enemy. But God bless your work, and I pray that you can come back to Unalaska again sometime.
Thank you. He was just in Ontario last night, not too far from you. But thank you so much for your call. I'm up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Many in America are shocked at the rate at which their church organizations, denominations, and other Christian organizations have completely denied the faith. They are not only denying the faith, but now they're promoting socialism, social justice, globalism, interfaith dialogue with Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, jihadi-preaching imams. How did this happen? The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed,
What can the righteous do? In all of these instances, whether it be a church, a Christian organization, a Christian denomination, or association, the first thing that happened is they denied the foundations of the faith, the fundamentals of the faith. Once they were moved off of the fundamentals of the faith and a biblical worldview, it was only a small step to their promoting the things of socialism, globalism, and mysticism. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
Our guest today is Usama Dakhtok from the Straightway of Grace Ministry. His website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. And when you go to his site, you'll see some resources there, but look for the little green and the little red booklet as you go down there on his home page. Let's go to Hillsboro, Wisconsin, and we have Conrad calling in. Conrad, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I missed the first call, so this might be a repeat, but I would ask you, Usama, Is he training other men or women to travel around like he is to teach this doctrine on Islam? That's okay. My question, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Conrad.
Well, brother, you know, that's one thing is missing, not just in Usama's life, but many of the people who travel in America to do our ministry. Sadly, I do not know how can I convince American people to learn about Islam. And it is easy, we can talk about ministering to the Muslim people, but as long as we are so busy with life and we're not expert on the topic of Islam, it is difficult to minister to the Muslim people. As you see maybe in many of my speaking engagements, I'm trying to educate American people for the hope that someday some of these people who are learning can carry my baton and move on for the next generation. And believe it or not, we need 10,000 people like me, and I could not do it by myself. So if anybody are listening to us right now who is interested, I would love to train you. And boy, oh boy, we got Facebook now. We can go on YouTube, and we can do a lot of things. I can educate and train people in their own church. I don't even have to come to you. Or we just get the material in and move in our study, and hopefully someday we have lots of teams all over this country to reach out to the lost Muslims.
Let's go to Nate in Salisbury, Maryland. You're on the air.
Hi, I want to say thank you to both of you for this program, and to Sama. I remember listening to you, I believe it was a year or two ago, and about the Quran, and I actually got a Quran, and I started reading it, and I'm just surprised at how people can think that it's such a peaceful religion when you just read the first, I guess, three chapters of it, and it is talking about how women are lower than dirt, how you're supposed to make war with the Christians or with people that don't believe.
Infidels, yeah.
And I'm just surprised. It's insane. So I want to thank you for making us all aware of that. And I would encourage other people to get a Quran, an English version of it, and to read it for themselves.
Amen.
Thank you for the call. And by the way, on Usama's website, you will see he has translated the Quran into English, and what he calls the first true English translation of the Quran. But he covers not only just interpreting the words, but helping to study notes for the reader to point out the errors and the contradictions in the Quran. Gives a comparison with biblical accounts, points to original sources, and helps you to understand even the table of Bible prophecies about Jesus, and you'll see the errors that abound. Let's go to Matt next in Cookeville, Tennessee. You're on the air, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, both you gentlemen. I just had a quick question. As a 32-year-old white Christian raised male in the heartland of the Bible Belt, as everybody should already know, you know, we really don't fear any man, be them Hebrew, Muslim, Christian, Rastafari, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, we're taught that we should preach the gospel and make everyone aware. Well, how then, what would be the best course of action, say, to someone who is Muslim? You know, they're not really going to be receptive to the practice of Christianity based off of their raising. You know, how do we...
Very good question.
Yeah.
You know, because you look at secular organizations.
Tell you what, we're running close on time, Matt, so I'd like you somebody have time to answer your question here. Go ahead.
Well, brother, in this green booklet, Brother Jim is talking about the straight way to eternal life, we cover three very important facts. Fact number one, that the Bible is the perfect word of God, using the Quran to prove our point, and that is a very important step. Number two, the Quran cannot be trusted. The Quran cannot be the word of God due to the hundreds of errors and contradiction all over the Quran. The third is the message of Christ, the message of Christianity, the good news of Jesus Christ. I wish you can get our green booklet and read it, and you know exactly how to minister to Muslim people using this as just an example. You can go in depth and get more information about that by through our website. We have DVD, Has the Bible Been Corrupted? And we have the DVD, Is the Quran Infallible? Use these two videos. I'll go 3 hour and a half or 4 hour material, and you'll have lots of material to minister to the Muslim people.
These little booklets, these green booklets Usama is talking about Matt, is he's got them. If you get 10 copies or more, they're just $1 each, and that covers shipping as well. And but it is that of witnessing to Muslims, and it's just a handy little booklet that puts it rather succinctly.
Yeah, but Brother Jim, it's important for people to read these books, booklets, before they give it away.
Yes.
So at least they prepare to know what's in it and know how to answer more questions people give them as well.
Absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly. You should never give any literature away and tout that literature without understanding and knowing it yourself. Yeah. I guess maybe to clarify my question is you being a gentleman, you were obviously more than likely raised under the religion of Islam. Mm-hmm. Your mother and father, I'm sure, are practicing. And it's not your mother and father, your grandfather's.
No, I did not grow up in a Muslim family, but I grew up in Egypt, a Muslim country. And I know exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I understand.
Sure.
Where do we draw the line? Because you look at these organizations, ISIL and ISIS and all that, where they really force religion down people's throats. And if you don't believe what they tell you to believe, you know,
ISIL are the true Muslim believers. They are the one who practice the teaching of the Quran.
Draw the line.
And we know that by reading the Quran. Just read the Quran and see that's exactly what Allah ordered the Muslim believers to do. They are not doing but what Allah commanded. Muhammad said he killed people until people say the Shahada. Muhammad compelled the Arab to accept Islam, to submit to Islam. And he did not accept any other religion from them except Islam. He killed the Jews, he killed the Christians, he killed the other worshippers. That is the sunnah of Islam. That's how Muslims live. And from the days of Muhammad until today, 1400 years later, that is how Islam still exists. If you leave Islam, even though you're forced into it, you're also killed because you become an apostate. And Muhammad taught the Muslims to kill those who leave Islam. That is Sharia. That is Islam. Sadly, most people in the West do not know the real picture of Islam, including many of our Muslim friends who do not have a clue what Islam really is all about.
Matt, I'm sorry. I have just seconds left. Thank you for the call. We're out of time on the program. Usama Dakdak is our guest. And friends, again, you can go to thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Look on that home page for that little green booklet and the little red booklet. And again, Usama speaking this coming Saturday morning in Marshfield, Wisconsin, for the Wisconsin Christian News Expo and Conference. Sunday, he's going to be at Grace Bible Church in Wild Rose, and then it's out to Oregon. Those of you in the Medford and Grand Pass area coming your way. Usama, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brother Jim. God bless you both.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.